we all know that when it's raining, there's no mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. And Tosis quotes the passage from the Talmud Yerushalmi that the one who sits in the sukkah when it's raining is hapatam adaba v'yaseh nikra hedyot. Hedyot means an idiot. He's considered an idiot. It doesn't make sense to volunteer to be machmir. On the other hand, we have a discussion in the Tanoim whether blind people are obligated to observe mitzvahs or not. The opinion of one version of the Tana Rabbi Yehuda is that blind people are not obligated to observe mitzvah. Question, there can be Mechal Shabbos also. Question, to what extent are they potter from a mitzvah? But the Gemara says clearly that Rabbi Yosef was blind and he used to volunteer the mitzvahs. The Gemara just has a dispute, who deserves more reward, the one who is obligated to do the mitzvahs and fulfills them, or the one who volunteers out of the goodness of his heart to observe the mitzvahs even though he's not obligated? So the conclusion that Gemara comes to is that the one who's chayv in the mitzvahs, the one who's mitzvah v'yosef, gets more reward than the one who's ain't a mitzvah v'yosef. But it was a dispute, so you see that he does get reward. So on the one hand, you call him an idiot. Whoever felt the word the hedyot, nikra hedyot, means he's an idiot. That's, what is it, Greek, Latin, I don't know what language it is. There's a kohen gadol, then there's a kohen hedyot. A kohen hedyot means an idiot. Idiot means a plain, commoner. He's a plain kohen, as opposed to a kohen gadol who's a chief kohen. He's a plain kohen. So the Rishonim asked this kashya. In Perek Merubim, Baba Kama, the Meiri quotes, a lot of Rishonim discussed this question. How come on the one hand we say that people are pata from doing mitzvahs, but they volunteer it, they do get reward, there is schar. Just a question, who gets more schar? And on the other hand, you say sometimes you put them in adav v'yaseh nikra hedyot, it is foolish. So the Rishonim say it all depends whether there's a kiyum or not. Are you accomplishing anything or not? Even if you say a blind person is potam in a mitzvah, but he has kedushas Yisrael, so if he volunteers the mitzvah, let's say women are not obligated to shake a lulav, women are not obligated to sit in the sukkah. But if they sit in the sukkah to shake a lulav, they have reward. The question is, do they deserve more reward than the men? Or less reward, but they do get reward for fulfilling the mitzvah. There is a kiyum mitzvah. When you sit in the sukkah in the rain, there's no kiyum mitzvah at all. So each mitzvah you have to try to ascertain which details, raining and the sukkah is not teshuva came to do it, so there isn't even a kiyum mitzvah. A woman is not mechuyev in a lulav, a blind person is not mechuyev in a lulav, but he does shake the lulav, he has a kedushas Yisrael. It makes sense that he shake the lulav, just exempt from it. Let me say that there is a kiyum mitzvah. There is a dispute between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. There were many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. We usually paskan like the Beis Hillel, with a few six exceptions to the rule, where we paskan like the Beis Shammai. So one of the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is a person ate a meal over here, he had bread, and he's supposed to recite Birchas Hamazon in the same location where you ate, in the same room, and he forgot all about it, and he went to Hebron already. And then he realized he forgot to bench. So is he obligated to go back? Is he obligated to go back and bench where he ate? Or did he say, no, he forgot. He forgot, so he can bench where he is. So Beis Hillel say he's not obligated to go back. And Beis Shammai say he's obligated to go back and bench Birchas Hamazon b'mkomo. So the Gemara tells a story that there were two yeshiva bachrim, and they both ate in a certain location. Then they got vatrachten lanen, and they forgot all about benching, and they went to a different location. So the one who went back to bench Bimkoma, who followed Beis Shammai's opinion, was rewarded, and he found a pocketbook full of money. And the other one, who didn't bother to go up back to bench in the place where he was supposed to, was punished. So why is it that over there the Gemara says, the one who was machmer like Beis Shammai was rewarded? But there's a mishnah in the first parak in Brochus, there's another machloikas, many disputes, Beis Shammai said, another machloikas, Beis Shammai said, Beis Shammai say when a person recites Kriya Shema at night, he should be in a reclining position. When he recites Kriya Shema in the morning, he should be in a standing position. That's how they translated the words in the Chumash, B'shach b'cha, u'v'komecha, b'shach b'cha, in a reclining position, u'v'komecha, in a standing position. And Beis Hillel say, no, that's not the translation. You can be reclining, standing, it doesn't make a difference. B'shach b'cha means when people are normally going to sleep, u'v'komecha means when normal people are waking up. There's a concept of sozman Kriya Shema in the morning. You have to say Kriya Shema within a certain amount of time. And at night also you have to say Kriya Shema, not that you're going to sleep before the sun sets. You have to say Kriya Shema Shalayla when normal people are going to sleep. So the Mishnah tells that on one occasion, Rab Tarfon Korah Behita, he was traveling on a highway, and the whole group was traveling, and he stopped And he said, in the middle of Kriya Shema, he reclined in order to say Kriya Shema, and it was a dangerous highway. There were all kinds of gangsters traveling on the highway. Sikanta diatzma, he almost got killed. And the Chacham told him, Kedai ha-yisabiach bi-atzmecha, loshu bereshecha, you deserve the death penalty because you're machma like the Bishama. So Tosfos is bothered with the kasha. There the Gemara says that the Talmud who was machma like Bishama, usually Bishama are more machma than the Bishil. The Gemara says the Talmud who went back to bench in the place where he ate, even though Bishil says it's not necessary to go back, the one who was machma like Bishama was rewarded, and he found an arniki, he found a wallet full of money. And here it says that Rab Tarfon was machma like Bishama. He said he told me he deserved the death penalty. He deserved to have been killed by the gangsters who were traveling on the highway. Why discrepancy? So Tosfos explains. Even Basila agreed that more correct is he's supposed to recite Birchas HaMoaz in the same place he went. They say, we're not matriach you. You're not mechuyev to go back. If it depends. If you ate over here and you walked down to the Kaisel and it's 2 minutes to come back, so come back 2 minutes and bench over here. If it's an hour, it says 45 minutes to Hebron, he's going to have to tell him to come back 45 minutes to go back to Hebron, to waste an hour and a half of his time in order to say Birchas HaMoaz in the same place where he ate. So Basila say, not mechuyev to be matriach, but Basila agree, if you'll go back, it'll be a kiyumai mitzvah. More correct is, supposed to bench Birchas HaMoaz and where you ate. But over here, the machleik is Bisham Basila, how do you translate the words in the Chumash? Bishach b'chol kamecha means at the zman, the time that people are normally waking up, the time that people are normally going to sleep. But does Bishach b'chol mean you should recite Kriya Shema in a reclining position? Or b'chol kamecha means you have to recite Kriya Shema in the morning in a standing position. So Beishamai's pshat is falsh galam pshat in the Chumash. That's not the correct translation of the words. It doesn't make sense to be machma like Beishamai. It's a false pshat in the pasuk. We absolutely don't accept Beishamai's sheet over there. If Beishamai say you mechiv to go back to bench in the same location, he'll agree. More correct is taka to do like Beishamai. But lohit yichu chachamim, you're not mechiv to be matriach so much. But if you will be matriach, there certainly will be a kin. Like we say, women are not obligated to shake a lulav. If a woman shakes a lulav to Allah bracha, that's wonderful. She gets reward like an eni mitzvah v'yoseh. It's not like sitting in the sukkah in the rain where there's no kima mitzvah at all. If you'll be machma like Bishamai to stand in the morning and to recline at night, there's no kima mitzvah at all because we don't accept Bishamai sheet. That's totally wrong. That's not the pshat in the psukim. So sometimes there's a concept of being machmer. You have in the days of the Tanoim, you have Mishnais like that in Beitzer. Rabbi Gamliel says that his father was the Nasi, the chief rabbi. His father used to be machma like Beishamai, a certain din in Hilchus Yontif. Even though we don't paskin like Beishamai, but there is such a concept. The Gemara says, regarding the many disputes between Mishamai and Beishamai, the Gemara has an expression, Eilu v'eilu diri l'kim chayim. What do you mean? These are both, these are those, the words of Beishamai, the words of Beishilo, are both diri l'kim chayim. What does that mean? So usually what it means is, even though we know in advance that we're not going to paskin like Beishamai, the psak has already been issued 1,500 years ago, 2,000 years ago, it didn't is like Beishilo. But nonetheless, when we study Bishamai's opinion, that's not considered bitul Torah. Let's say there's a Sefer. We know that the one who wrote the Sefer made a lot of mistakes, and everything in the Sefer is wrong. So if we're going to read that book, it's like reading a joke book, it's like reading a comic book. There's no Kima Mitzvah of Talmud Torah. If a person attempted to learn Torah, the Gemara tells a story about one of the Tanoim, Shimon HaMsoini. He worked with the premise that every time the word S appears in Chumash, the word S is extra. We write Hebrew, we usually leave out, in modern Hebrew, we leave out all the time the word S. Some biblical Hebrew has so many times, Bereshis Baal Hakim, Es Hashem, Es Haaretz. So this Tana worked with the assumption that the word S is always marbe something, always marbe something additional. Till he came to the Pasuk, he was darshaning a lot of psukim. Till he came to the Pasuk, Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should fear God, and fear someone else also, S. But he doesn't have any partners. So there's only one God. So how can you be marba anything in the word S? So Pirish, he stopped saying the drushes. So the student said, what should we do with all the notes? He said, so many drushes. He said, put them all in shemis, everything is wrong. And he said, kishem shekibalti yischar alat prisha. Kishem, just like I got reward alat drisha for saying all the drushes, because at the time that I said all these drushes, I was attempting. I thought that it was correct. And now that we realize that it's wrong, now we're going to get reward for not saying Divrei because it's not correct. So why did he say, just like I got reward for saying all the drushes, he shouldn't have gotten any reward for anything that he said, everything was wrong. The answer is, he gets reward for trying to learn. You'd say, you learned the Gemara, you misunderstood the whole Gemara, but you were trying to figure it out. Okay, so you get reward. But if I know that a certain Sefer, everything is wrong, years ago when I was growing up in the Bronx, there was a Balabas who claimed that maybe it's true, he claimed that he used to be a rabbi in Europe. When he came to America, he was riding on the train, and some goyim clobbered him over the head, and his memory is schwach, so he published the Sefer. He says there may be a lot of mistakes in the Sefer. The whole Sefer is one big mistake from the beginning to the end. But he says there may be a lot of mistakes because they beat me up on the train and I made a lot of mistakes. So if you know in advance that that book is all wrong, so if you read that book, you don't get reward for learning Torah. If you know in advance that it's wrong, if you attempted to try to learn, then you deserve reward for attempting to learn. So we know in advance that we don't paskin like Bishamai. We have a lot of psukim, and nonetheless in yeshivas we spend a lot of time to study Bishamai's opinion. So shouldn't that constitute bittul Torah? So that's what the Gemara says. No, elu v'elu dibur l'kim chayim. Bishamai didn't make mistakes. Bishamai were working with the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hispam. They darshaned a little differently from the Beis Hillel. So since they were working with the same rules and regulations, same premises as Beis Hillel worked it, but Beis Hillel held you go in one direction, Bishamai held you go in the other direction, so that's considered a Chepetz Shel Torah, and that constitutes a mitzvah of Talmud Torah, even though we know in advance we don't pass like that, but it does mean that it's wrong that we're working with the same Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hispam. So one who learns Shitas Bishamai is in fulfillment of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. To use Rabbi Soloveitchik's terminology, Bishamai Shita constitutes a Chepetz Shel Torah. When you learn that Shita, we know in advance we don't pass like it, but it's not that it's falsh Torah, it's correct, but we don't paskin like it. So that's one, in one level we say, when we study Bishamai Shita, you get reward, even though we know in advance we don't paskin like that, because it is a Chepetz Shel Torah. But the Gemara has more than that. We say, is even relevant halacha lemaisa. It's even relevant halacha lemaisa, that what? That even though it's going to be, won't always apply to Bishamai Mesil, whenever you have a machlokes, so we say that there is a kernel of truth, even halacha lemaisa, in the opinion that's not accepted. We don't say that that opinion is wrong. If it was based on Midrash HaTorah Nidresh Hispam, so we say we have to paskin something, so the Chumash says, Acharam Lahatas, we should follow the majority opinion. But it does mean that the minority opinion is wrong. We say even halacha lemaisa, sometimes it constitutes a suffix kolduhu. It's not a suffix ashokal 50-50. We follow the majority opinion. That's a Bisil allowed voter, the Bishamai. So they were the rove, so we follow the majority opinion. And many other disputes, there's a psak halacha. The psak is based on acharam lahat, it's the majority opinion. But it does mean that minority made a mistake. The shita halacha maisa is not accepted. So where is it relevant? So take, for example, there's a din of orla. If you plant a tree, so whatever fruits grow the first 3 years, you're not permitted to eat, you're not allowed to sell it to anybody else. It's osa b'achila, osa b'anua. The Chumash in Parshas Kedoshim, the Chumash Vayikra, has this din of orla, kisavoy al ha'aretz. When you come to Eretzol and the Titan call it zmacha, you plant the tree, so the first 3 years, the fruits are arelim. Does the din apply to chutz l'aretz? So the psukim say only kisavoy al ha'aretz when you come to Eretzol. So the Mishnah says that the din of Orla applies even in Chutz Lords, and it's a halacha. What does the word halacha mean? So the Gemara has a machlekes. Does it mean halacha l'moshe m'sinai? Means it's an oral tradition. Even on the Chumash, it only says ki savoy al ha'aretz. We have halacha l'moshe m'sinai that it even applies to Chutz Lords. Or does it mean mehilchas bedin? It's only midirabara. So it's generally accepted that it means halacha l'moshe m'sinai. The machlekes in the Gemara, and most of the Rishonim assume, that is halacha l'moshe misina. So the Gemara asks, halacha l'moshe misina means pure Torah shebal peh. There's no way to read it in between the lines of the Chumash. It's a pure tradition, oral tradition. The Mishnah in the end of the first paragraph in Chagiga has an expression for such halacha l'moshe misina that it's parchas ba'avir. It's an oral tradition that was transmitted orally in the air, in the luften. There's not en l'mameshe yismochu. It's not based on reading in between. Most of the Torah Shabbat is reading in between the lines, and this is only purely oral tradition, like sound waves that are transmitted in the air. Parchas Bavir. So the Gemara says, if Orla b'chutz l'aretz is halacha l'moshe misina, but it's a din min ha-Torah, so the din should be, what do you do if you have a safek Orla b'chutz l'aretz? A safek d'araisa, you should go l'chumra. And here the Mishnah said that a safek Orla b'chutz l'aretz is l'kula. So Gemara says it's not a kasha. That's part of the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, that if you have a vaday orlo b'chutz la'aretz, if a vaday grew on a tree or on a bush that was just planted within this, the last 3 years, you're not allowed to eat it. But if you're not sure whether it's orlo, then the halacha Moshe Mitzrayim says that it's mutter. So the Gemara has a klal, whenever there's a mach, not only if it's a sofik mitzias, I don't know how old the tree or the bush is, was it planted within the last 3 years, or was it planted 5 years ago, even if it's a sofik and din. What if the sofik and din is not a 50-50 sofik, it's not a sofik hashok or a machlekes, and there's no hachra. There is a hachra. The hachra is lahachmir. It's a machlekes hatanaim, and the rov hatanaim say lahachmir, and the miut of the tanaim say lahaka. So the Gemara has a klal in brachas daf lamed vav kol amekol ba'aretz halacha k'moisa b'chutz l'aretz. If in Eretz Yisrael it's a machlekes hatanaim, and we pass on acharam lahatas, we pass like the majority opinion, but there was a minority opinion, so that's considered a sofik koldu. It's not a sofik hashakol. It's not a 50-50 sofik. It's 85% of the tanaim, 95% of the tanaim say one way, and 5% say the other way. So it's not a real sofik. There's a slim minority opinion that says lahakel son chutz lord, that's enough to be makel if it's any sofik koldu. So this is what the Gemara means. This is an additional level of elu v'elu divrei kimchaim. Elu v'elu divrei kimchaim. The original statement means when you spend time to study Beis Hamish's opinion, it's not bittul Torah, because Beis Hamish's shita is based on midrash Torah and Reshes Mem, and it constitutes a mitzvah. It's a cheftza shel Torah, constitutes a kima mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Now we're saying even more, it's even relevant to halacha lemaisa. The opinions of Beis Shammai and the opinions that were outvoted by the Tanoim and the Chachamim and the Gemara are considered a sofik kol dehu, even to be makel, or lebechutz, even though or lebechutz is deraisa, it's halacha lemaisa misinai, it's considered a sofik kol dehu. The same thing we have a klal in Avelus. Ashkenazim usually follow the opinion, all of the laws of Avelus are only midirabbanan. Even Avelus Shivei, Avelus the Yom Day is only the first day. Yom Rishon is only midirabbanan. But the Sfardim follow the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber and the Shulchan Aruch. That Avelus the first day of Shivei is men haTorah, and they still say halacha k'divrei Meikel ba'Avel. Any sofik koldu, even though the majority opinion is lahachmen, but there's a minority opinion lahakel. So then halacha says you go lekula. And Tosfos quotes the Tshuvas Arganim, even when you're dealing with Avelus Deraisa, based on a pasuk in Chumash, that any Sofik called to an Avelus, you go Lekula. Why is that? Because it is called a Sofik. Elu v'elu divrei kimchaim. See, there are those who understood, Elu v'elu divrei kimchaim, they understood it differently. The Sefer Chinuch gives the following presentation. The Gemara tells us that the Beis Shammai were brighter than the Beis Hillel. They were Mechadu Ditvei. That's why Beis Shammai was a smaller group than the Beis Hillel. Most of the people are not such geniuses. So the Beis Shammai, who are bigger geniuses, so their group by definition had to be smaller. So Beis Shammai were really right in all the disputes. So Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Kimchaim means that Rabbanu Shlomo says you should always follow the majority opinion, because it's going to be difficult sometimes to determine who's the bigger genius, who's the smarter individual. So Rabbanu Shlomo said under the circumstances we can't judge who's the bigger genius, so follow the majority opinion. But in truth, the Beis Shammai really right. So that's how the Sefer Achinos sort of learns. Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Kimchaim, Beis Shammai is really right, but under the circumstances that Beis Hillel were the majority, so the Torah wants us to follow the Beis Hillel. And there's such a passage in the Zohar that Lasi Lava, we're going to follow Beis Shammai. But many others say not like the Sefer Achinos. It does mean Beis Shammai is really right and Beis Hillel is really wrong, but under the circumstances. And they say no. The Ritva on Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel, where the Gemara makes this statement, the end of the first parak in Erevin, regarding the many disputes between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the Gemara says, Eilu v'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chaim. So the Ritva says, what does it mean? So he says, we have a tradition from our Rabbein. What it means is the following. When Moshe Rabbeinu was on Har Sinai, he asked Rabbeinu Shalom, Rabbeinu Shalom was telling him more than 630 mitzvahs. He asked Rabbeinu Shalom, what's the din in this case? He said, the sukkah is kosher. What's the din in that case? The sukkah is puzzle. What's the din in this case? That's a great area of halacha. It has elements of heksha, elements of psul, elements of chiyuv, elements of ptur, elements of kosher and treif, whatever. And Rabbeinu Shalom said he's going to leave it up to the discretion of the chachmei haTorah shebechol dor v'dor to determine whether, according to their perception of kol haTorah kula, do they feel that the elements of Issa outweigh the elements of Heter, elements of Heter outweigh the elements of Issa. So that's how the Ritva and many, the Maharsha learns like that, and the Maharal Miprag says like that. That's what is usually assumed today. Eluyeladivinagimchai means much more than what the Sefer Chinuch said. Really, Beishama is right because they were sharper, and Beisilu be really wrong, but under the circumstances, Rabbi Shalom wants us to follow the majority. We shouldn't have machlaikas. We don't assume like that. We assume, since they were both working with the Midrash HaTorah and the Drash HaSbam, so not only both are Achefs and Shal Torah, both in a certain sense, the Rabbi Shalom said the Harsina, the elements of Het, elements of Easter. It leads it up to the Chachmei HaTorah Shebechol Davador, to Paskin, to be Machriya, whether they feel that the elements of Het outweigh the elements of Easter or not. So the Elu V'Elu is more than just a Chef to Shalter. It means even Halacha L'Maisa. So therefore, let's say, we Paskin like the Bisil, many disputes. So the Mishnah Beitzer says, Rabbi Gamliel says, his father was the Nasa, used to be personally be Machmer like Beishamai. What does it mean? Why is he Machmer like Beishamai? We don't Paskin like that. The answer is, we have a Klal Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra. Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra, strictly speaking, means when it's a 50-50 Sofik. If it's a 85% of the Tanaim say one way, and 15% say the other way, that's strictly speaking, that's not a Sofik. Sofik is 50-50, Sofik HaShokol. If it's 85-15, so you should say Acharab Melahatas. So as a Midas Chassidus, it makes sense to say, I want to treat that also as a Sofik Deraisa L'Chumra. For one who is into Midas Chassidus, one who observes all the mitzvahs and is ready for Hidurim, so then you say, as a Midas Chassidus, this would also constitute a Safik Deraisa L'Chumra. Or it's considered a Safik Kol Dehu that we say, if there's any slight Safik in Hilchos Avelus, even on the level of Deraisa, even if Avelus were Deraisa, still, there's any slight Safik Kol Dehu, you have based on a Pasuk Chumash, a Safik, any slight Safik in Avelus, you go Lekula. Not only a 50-50 Sufik, even if it's a Sufik of 85% say L'chumra, and 15% say L'kula, you also say that that's a Sufik Kol Dehu. And the same thing, Sufik Kol Dehu, it's a whole list, there are six different areas of Halacha, where we say if you have a slight Sufik Kol Dehu, you already can paskin like the minority opinion. Because whenever you have a machlokes, the majority minority, it's not that we assume the minority opinion was incorrect, there is validity to that opinion. And not only that you fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah when you spend time to learn that shita, even Halacha L'Maaseh, it would make sense to be machme for that opinion. So that's one area where there's room for chumras. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. You have thousands of machlokes in the Gemara. And the psak is one way, but a person who feels he wants to do a midas chasidus wants to be machmer like the other opinion. So it's not like one who sits in the sukkah when it's raining, he's an idiot. Why? When it's raining, there's no kima mitzvah at all. But over here, this is like women shaking a lulav, or the blind men shaking a lulav, even you hold that blind people are potam and mitzvahs, but they have a kedushas yisrael, so if they'll volunteer to observe the mitzvahs, there certainly will be a kima mitzvah. So here also, if one is volunteering to follow the stringent opinion of the minority, so that would be a kiyama mitzvah. I was told by Rab Nissen Alpert, some of you remember him, he used to be a big Talmud Chacham, he was close to Rab Moshe Feinstein. I never witnessed this, but he said this would be a common sight. He was older than me, passed away already. So he said, Moshe Feinstein was a sweetie pie, so whenever people invited him to a wedding, he knew how much it meant to them, so he would attend all the weddings. It was more than once that he would attend more than one wedding. He attended several weddings a night. In fact, there's one of the Talmid Chacham here in Eretz Yisrael who has Rabbi Michal Shurkin has an expression. He says, if a girl got married during those years and Rabbi Moshe was not at her wedding, the girl is becheskes pnuya, because we're not so sure that she got married, because Rabbi Moshe always attended all the weddings. Whenever he would be invited, he knew how much it meant to the people, so he would always be kind enough to show up. So Rabbi Alpert said he remembers seeing the following sight. Rav Moshe would always come on time. Didn't want people to wait for him. So Rav Moshe would be there, he would fill out a printed ksuv, he'd fill it out. A blazer of silver would fly in from Shinshineti, and he would see the Rav Moshe Feinstein filled out a printed ksuv, he would rip it up in public, demonstrative fashion, and he would say, no, there's an opinion in the Mishnah Gittin that not only does a get need lishma, a get has to be written lishma, so you don't have a text of a get that's printed, you just fill in the names. You have to write the whole get. The husband has to instruct the sefer to write the whole get from scratch. So there's one opinion in the Mishnah that midirabbanan, all shtoris have to be written. You're not allowed to have a form. from Mishtar Mechiras Chametz, Ksuba, you have to write everything with the Rabbanim from scratch. So even though we don't pass like that, so Rabbi Eliezer Silva used to say, we should be machmer like that opinion. And Rabbi Alpin said, Rabbi Moshe wouldn't say boo, he would just sit there. But Rabbi Moshe wrote tshuvas. And Rabbi Eliezer Silva did not write tshuvas. So Rabbi Moshe writes in the middle of a tshuva, has nothing to do with this. So he writes, and lest somebody think that they fulfill a kiyam amitzah, a hider, by writing the whole ksuba from the beginning to the end, he says, that's nonsense. That opinion was outvoted in the days of the Tanaim. Whatever was omd l'minyan, whenever the Tanaim were together, if they lived in two different cities, and the minority said one way, and the majority said the other way, so then it would constitute a midas chasidus to follow the minority opinion if it's l'chumra. But if they're all sitting together in the base medrash, and the majority outvoted the minority, omd l'minyan, so then there's no midas chasidus at all. He understood. That's why we say there's a midas chasidus to be machmer like the minority opinion. If one is into observing midas chasidus, that applies to every other dispute other than Beishamei Bisil. Beishamei Bisil with the original chachamim, where the Talmud uses that expression ela ve'ela dira lekim chayim, and there it applies less than in other cases. The Gemara said Beishamei b'makom Bisil ena mishnah. We don't consider Beishamei's opinion at all. Not even as a midas chasidus to volunteer like Beishamei. Why is that? Why should Beishamei be less than any other machlekes? Rav Moshe explains in his sefer, because they were together in the same base medrash and they argued it out, and they were outvoted. So outvoted, so there isn't even a midas chasidus. So then the poskim have another klal, even if they lived in two different cities, how much of a minority opinion is it? Is it one opinion against 99? 1% of the chacham hold this, or is it 5%? So if it's only the Rambam and everybody else disagrees, or even if it's the Rambam and the Rimei Migash, they have in Shulchan Aruch, the Rimei Migash was the Talmud of the Rif, and the Rambam's father learned by the Rimei Migash. And when the Rambam was a young child, said the Rimei Migash gave him a bracha, he should be successful in learning. So the Rambam later in life attributed his success in learning to the bracha that he got as a child from the Rimei Migash. So the Rambam was so subservient to the Rimei Migash. Rimei Migash passed away when he was young. He never learned by the Rimei Migash. So the Rambam was so kafuf to the Rimei Migash because his father learned by him and he gave him a bracha when he was a child. So he always follows the Rimei Migash except for rare instances when he disagrees with him. So in Shulchan Aruch they say if you have one Rishon holds an opinion but no one else agrees with him, it's not that it's a minority opinion, 15% of the Chacham, 5%, 1% of the Chacham, hardly anybody says like that. So then you ignore it. And then they say, and even if it's the Rambam and the Rimei Migash, it's two, because the Rambam is so kafuf of the Rimei Migash, it counts as one. So the Shita Yechidol Legamri you can ignore. There is no Midas Chasidus to be machmer for that. So in Shulchan Aruch they have klolim, when it makes sense. For example, the Minig by the Ashkenazim, we observe Avelis in the 9 days. So in the days of the Tanaim, there was a machlokes, does it make sense to observe only Shavuot Shechal by Tisha B'Av? Only that week, Tisha B'Av is going to be on Wednesday. So do you only begin observing on Matzoi Shabbos, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, observe Avelis, or do you start observing Avelis from Rosh Chodesh? So strictly speaking, we pass on Halacha, only Shavuot Shechal by Tisha B'Av that week, that Tisha B'Av will fall out in the middle of the week. And because there was a Tana who held the other way, so we have, Ashkenazim have developed a minig that we are machmer for that opinion, even though that opinion was outvoted. That makes sense. That's like a midas chasidus to volunteer to follow the opinion that was not accepted, l'alocha. For many years there was a practice that by Ashkenazim, by Bali Atosis, that they wouldn't take a cold shower on Shabbos or Yom Tov. Because there was a Tana who was of the opinion that that it made sense to make a gzeira midrabbanan. That you shouldn't take. In the days of the Tanaim, they didn't have private showers in the private homes. They had a public bathhouse. So the bathhouse attendants were not the most observant, not the most intelligent people, not the most religious people. So they used to turn on the fires on Shabbos to make hot water so the Balabatim would come and bathe on Shabbos afternoon. So the Chacham said, you're not allowed to bathe in hot water. Even if it's true that the hot water was hot from before Shabbos, you're not allowed to bathe. Because the Digzeris HaBalonim, the Balonim were the bathhouse attendants who were not so observant, and they would fool the people, they would lie, they would say that the water was heated up from before Shabbos, and it wasn't true. So there was one Tana who was of the opinion, not even allowed to take a cold shower on Shabbos because the Digzeris HaBalonim. They prohibited all showers on Shabbos. So we don't paskin like that, But there was a minig for many, many centuries, quite a few centuries, that the Jews wouldn't take a cold shower on Shabbos and Yom Tov. After Whitney invented the cotton gin and he started making cotton underwear and the people started taking showers and baths much more often, years ago they took a bath twice a year, three times a year. George Washington, you know. When he smelled, so they poured perfume on the body. They didn't take a bath every month in Donishtik. Every day take a bath is Lobo Becheshbon. But after they invented cotton underwear, and people started bathing much more often, so that minig disappeared. We no longer observe that minig. Everybody takes cold showers today on Shabbos and Yom Tov if you really all perspired. So there's such a ninyan of having a chumrah to follow a shita that has not been accepted. If it was Amdul Minyan, it was outvoted, they were together outvoted. So that's where Moshe Feinstein said there isn't even a Midas Chassidus there. If it's a Shita Yechidua Legamre, one opinion, one girsa, or something also, there's no Midas Chassidus to follow that. But if it's a significant minority opinion, even though we don't accept that opinion, there is such a concept to be Machmer. Then we were just talking before, one of the Chachamim says, how do I compare to my father? We were talking before. How do I compare to my father? My father, when he had fleshiks, would wait 24 hours till he had milchiks. And I don't wait so long, I just wait 6 hours. From one meal to the other, I wait 6 hours. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, waiting 6 hours is only a minig, it's not a real din. A din min hatorah is if the flesh and the milk are cooked together. And if you had fleshiks, you don't need milchiks in the same meal or within an hour, so that's midirabbanan. You have to wait 1 hour, that's a real din midirabbanan. And the extra 5 hours is not even midirabbanan, it's only a minute. So that's what they quote from the Chasam Sofer, that if a person has a slight bellyache, some slight ache and pain, and he thinks that drinking warm milk is going to help him, years ago they thought that drinking warm milk helps for ulcers. So they came to the realization that it didn't help at all. It was ridiculous. But, yeah. So that's what the Chassam Sofer said. A person has some slight ache and pain, so he could be mekel after the first hour is up to be allowed to violate a nisa derabbani. You have to be a choyle she'ein bo sakana. To violate a nisa derabbani, you have to be a choyle she'ein bo sakana. To violate a nisa derabbani, you have to be a choyle she'ein bo sakana. But to violate a minig, you don't even have to be a choyle she'ein bo sakana. If you have slight ache and pain, there's room to be mekel. So there's such a thing as being machmer a minig to wait 6 hours. What is that based on? We have a pasuk in Chumash, Shmarta mis mishmarti, and the Gemara has a tradition. That's the concluding pasuk in Parshas Achrimos. So it says, Shmarta mis mishmarti, and the tradition has it, Asum mishmeres l'mishmarti. That's the opening mission in Pirkei Avos. The Anshei Knesset HaGedola had three policies. So one of them was, Asei siyog l'Torah, try to make a lot of siyogim, a lot of harchokas. So the Mesillas Yesharim writes that a lot of people misunderstand. They think that pasuk asum mishmaris l'mishmarti is an instruction to the members of the Bezdin, to the Chachmei HaGemara, they should make siyogim. But whatever siyogim they made are binding. Whatever siyogim they didn't make, we don't have to make our own harchokas. So the Mesillas Yesharim says he thinks that that's not correct. Whatever harchokas the Chachmei HaGemara made, those are binding on all the Jews and all the generations and all the countries of the world and all times. But if you happen to be in a particular situation, you're a professor in a university, or you work in an automobile factory, or you work in whatever, on a farm, and because of your circumstances, you have a certain chashash, you're going to fall in kashrus, so you're going to fall in whatever, in some area or another, so you should make a hachaka for yourself. The Chachmei HaGemara didn't make the hachaka because they didn't feel that it's necessary for all the Jews in the world. Whatever hachakas they made, whatever siyogim the Chachamim introduced are binding on everybody in the world. But in your particular instance, if you feel that you need a harchoke, so the Torah tells all of us we have to make a harchoke. So that's like the meaning of waiting 6 hours. V'cheina, v'cheina, there are many minhagim like that. That's not considered nikra hedyut. But manadoras and nikra, it's not a hedyut. The Torah says asum mishmaris l'mishmarti, if it's within reason, one should. So sometimes you have people observe chumras; they want to satisfy a certain opinion that's not really accepted lahalacha. See, for many years, in the days of the Rishonim, for many years the practice was that the Ashkenazim followed Ashkenazi Pesach and the Sephardim followed Sephardi Pesach, and that was it. Like the Democrats always vote Democrat, and Republicans always vote the Republican, and they never compromised. And then there was a period, towards the end of the period of the Balei HaTesis, the Hasidi Ashkenaz developed an attitude, we try to do things in such a way to satisfy all the opinions. not just we follow the Ashkenazim. So the Mishkan Es Yankov has a tshuva about this. He has long tshuvas about Erevin. So in the middle of one of the tshuvas, he writes, this was the attitude of the Hasidic Ashkenaz. We have it over 10 times. You have it in Shulchan Aruch. They quote suggestions from the Maharam Rutenberg. He was the end of the period of the Balei HaTesis. The Rosh was a Talmud of the Maharam Rutenberg. Maharam Rutenberg was the one who was put in prison by the government to hold up the Jewish community for the ransom money. We were speaking the other day. So the Maharam Rutenberg is the one who introduced the second night Rosh Hashanah. There's a machlokes where they say Shechianu and Kiddush, and whether the Baal Tekeh says Shechianu when he blows Shofar, unless the first day Rosh Hashanah was Shabbos, he didn't blow Shofar, then for sure you say Shechianu on the second day. But if you blew Shofar on the first day, does the Baal Tekeh say Shechianu the second day? So the Sfardim don't say Shechianu on the second day, Rosh Hashanah, the Ashkenazim do. So in Shulchan Aruch, they quote the suggestion from the Maharam Rutenberg to satisfy the both opinions, should have a Beger Chodosh or a Pri Chodosh. The guy says Shechianu anyway, so for sure it won't be a Brachal of Atol. Or they quote in Hilchas Chala, there was a Machloikas Hatanayim and a Machloikas in the days of the early Rishonim and a Machloikas in the days of the later Rishonim. If you mix flour with May Paris, with juice, and you didn't put in any water at all, is one obligated to be Mafresh Chala? So this was a big Machloikas, so the Pesach should really be Mafresh Chala without a Brocha. It's not really right to do a mitzvah without a bracha. More correct is to do the mitzvah in such a way that you can say a bracha. So the Maharam Rutenberg is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, you should always pour in a significant amount of water when you're kneading the dough with juice, with fruit juices. Pour in some significant amount of water that you could have kneaded the dough with the water without any of the fruit juice that you added. So you should always try. And they quote another around over 10 places where they quote these suggestions from the Maharam Rutenberg, from the Hasidic Ashkenaz. Then you look in the Mishnah Berurah, he multiplied it by 1,000. Every other page in the Mishnah Berurah, he tells you how to stand on your head to do the din in such a way to satisfy all the different opinions. Maharam Rutenberg only had 10, 15 cases he's quoted. Mishnah Berurah does that on every page in Shulchan Aruch. So that's considered another type of Midas Hasidus, to satisfy all the different opinions. That's another Midas Hasidus. Then sometimes there's a Midas Chasidus. Let's say a woman shakes a lulav. There's no machlekes. Women are not mechuyev to shake a lulav. They're not mechuyev. But if they'll volunteer it, there will be a kiyama mitzvah. I'll take, for example, it's famous from the Vilna Goen that he claimed pshat in the Gemara's like this, and on the first night of Pesach, we're obligated to have a seder, we're obligated to eat matzah. And the rest of Pesach, the Gemara says rishus. So what does it mean, rishus? We usually learn that it's optional. If you want to eat matzah, eat it. If you don't want to eat matzah, don't eat it. So the Vilna Gaon said, no, it's a mitzvah, so reshus. If you eat matzah, you have a kiyama mitzvah. That's a chiddush, that such a concept exists. There are those today in Eretz Yisrael who claim that the Vilna Gaon could never have said such a thing, because it's a contradiction in terms. A mitzvah doesn't mean a good deed. Mitzvah means mitzvah. Mitzvah means a commandment. How can you have a commandment that you're not obligated to do, but if you do it, you have a kiyama mitzvah? So Talmid Chacham who denied that the Vilna Gaon ever said. But the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva in Balozhin. Balozhin Yeshiva lasted for 90 years. It's founded by Rav Chaim Balozhin in 1801 approximately, and it was closed by the Netziv and by Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in 1891-92, because the Russian government insisted they should introduce so much secular studies. They could only learn an hour and a half a day Gemara, and the rest of the day they had to study secular studies, and they wouldn't allow them to keep the base medrash open. So there's a big machlekes at that time among the Rabbanim. Many Rabbanim, the majority of the Rabbanim held it's better to have a yeshiva that'll only be open for an hour and a half a day, and they close the yeshiva. And the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva together with Rav Chaim Soloveitchik. They were the minority. They insisted they're closing the yeshiva, even though they were not in the majority. They insisted on closing the yeshiva. So the Netziv was the Rosh Yeshiva the last 39 years, that's a long time, last 39 years of the 90 years of Balozhin. He quotes in his Sefer. He learned in Balozhin. He said, Balozhin had the tradition that the Vilna Gaon said that there's such a concept as a mitzvah, so shus. So a lot of times we assume like that there's such a thing as a midas chasidus. If I volunteer something, there will be a kiyama mitzvah. Even though in the Chumash there's no such obligation, but if you volunteer it, there will be a kiyama mitzvah. So these are different examples of midas chasidus that make sense. There's a famous Gemara in Perek Merubah in Bava Kamma, where the Gemara says one of the Talmidim was walking in the street and he was observing a certain Chumra, Midas Chasidus, which strictly speaking is not binding, in the presence of his Rebbe, and the Rebbe was not observing the mincha, the Rebbe was being mekel on the Talmud, he was being machmer. So they walked over to the Talmud and they said, if not for the fact that we know that you're a holy tzaddik, we would put you in cherem. You have the chutzpah to be a machmer in the presence of the Rebbe, that's not right. But they knew he was a tzaddik, so they didn't put him in cherem. So the Mefarshim say from that Gemara, it's not proper for one to volunteer a midas chasidus in the presence of the Rebbe. The Rebbe is not observing that midas chasidus. And Moshe Feinstein has such a tshuva. Strictly speaking, you're not obligated to stand when they learn Kriyas HaTorah. But the Maharam Rutenberg had a personal chumrah, out of respect for the Limud HaTorah, he used to stand. The Baal HaBatim in the shul sat. He personally stood during Kriyas HaTorah. That Moshe Feinstein has a sefer in his tshuva. He writes, if the rabbi in the shul, the rabbi in the shul is an old man, like I daven a Baruch Shul, Rabbi Baruch was 98 years old when he passed away. So when he was younger, he did stand. When he was an old man, he used to sit. Rabbi Schwab also, when he was younger, he stood. Then there's an old man, he couldn't stand. So, but if the rabbi is a younger person and he doesn't stand, so it's not permissible for the yeshiva bachim to come to the shul, they're going to stand during Kriyas HaTorah, they're observing a chumrah that the rabbi doesn't observe. So that's not proper. The Gemara has an expression that if a woman is dressed up nicely with beautiful clothing, then she puts on jewelry, so that enhances her good looks. If she's wearing a rag, she's just wearing a bathrobe. He's going to wear jewelry, so it's going to look ridiculous. So who's observing the Midas Chasidus? So if you have a person who observes more or less all the mitzvahs, and then he wants to volunteer to observe a Midas Chasidus, so that's a wonderful thing. He's enhancing his observance of mitzvahs. But if you have, some of my best friends talk Lashon Hara, and some of us cheat on income tax, and some of us bend a little bit over here on Kashrus and on Shabbos and this and that, and the other thing, all of a sudden Midas Chasidus, it doesn't fit it. That's the Gemara that said, how do I compare to my father? My father used to wait 24 hours and he was fleshig and I only wait 6 hours. So what's so difficult? He could have waited 24 hours also. And the answer is, all the Bali Musa say, he knew he was not that madrega. He would be hypocritical on his part if he's going to wait 24 hours. It didn't fit in with the rest of his lifestyle. He wasn't such a medaktik in mitzvahs. So that's a question. One wants to volunteer midas chasidus. It has to make sense. Sometimes a midas chasidus is a terrible thing. Shulchan Aruch, they have, let's say, some treifas fell into soup and it's bottled b'shishim, and the guy's going to have a chumah, is going to throw out the soup. So they say in Shulchan Aruch, that's considered apikursus. What are you machmer about? The din is that bottled b'shishim is bottled b'shishim. You have some objection, you don't like the din in the Gemara. That's a din in Shulchan Aruch. The treifas is bottled b'shishim. Or let's say you're going to be machmer on something, strictly speaking, because you're going to be machmer because there's some opinion, you think there's some opinion that is treif. It's a baltashchis. What are you throwing out the good food? It's a baltashchis on the food. Basically, every chumrah really leads to a kulip. There's some people that spend $300 to buy a fancy esrog, so they have less money to give to tzedakah. I don't spend so much money on an esrog, so I have more money to give to tzedakah, and I do give to tzedakah. That extra money that I don't spend on amidas chasidus and chumrahs, I do give to tzedakah. I remember once one of the modern rabbis was giving a whole, Dr. Lamb had a think tank for modern orthodoxy. So they invited me twice and then they disinvited me. they decided I'm not helping out in their conversations. So one of the days that I was there, every couple of months that think tank would meet. So one of the two times I was there, so one person, a little older than me, he gave a whole presentation, the 8 differences between the modern Orthodox and the Haredim. So one of the 8 differences was, what about Zionism, what about secular education, Torah education for women. So one of the differences was Chumrah. So he delivered this presentation in the yeshiva. I wasn't there when he delivered the yeshiva, but I had heard it earlier at the think tank. So he said that the expression Hamachmer Tov Ala Bracha was invented by the Mishnah Brura. So one of his students confronted him and he said the expression appears in Tosfos. The Mishnah Brura didn't write Tosfos. Hamachmer Tov Ala Bracha is a concept that appears in the Mishnah Brura and it appears in Tosfos. It appears in the Gemara also. There is room for chumras, but there has to be for whom and which situation. During the period of the second Beis Hamikdash, they had to make a few times paraduma. In the history of the world, there were 9 paraduma. It's going to be one lossy lover. So there were 9. Every 100 years or so, they made another paraduma. Paraduma is needed. The ashes of paraduma needed if a person attended a funeral to remove the tumas ames. It's not enough to go to mikveh. Yeah, they have to sprinkle water that has paraduma ashes mixed in on the person. Then actually he can go to the mikveh after this, after the hazar shlishi shvi, then he can go to the mikveh. So during the period of the Bai Sheni, the Tzedukim had fierce disputes with the Chachamim. So one of their disputes was the people who do the Paraduma, the Hiza HaTohar Al HaTomei, how Tohar do they have to be? So they were, the Tzedukim were Machmir against Allah. They say it has to be Tohar, even if he went to Mikveh, and he didn't yet have Harav Shemesh, the Tahar in the Mikveh is not completed till Tzeis HaKochavim, following when the person goes to Mikveh. He's still Tomei with respect to eating Truma, the first Mishnah in Brachas. Person goes to mikveh, has to have harav shemesh that he should be allowed to eat truma. So the tzedukim in the Bai Sheni period were of the opinion that had a chumrah that you're not allowed to make a paraduma with a person who's a tful yom. You have to wait till harav shemesh. So the chachamim said their pshat in the pasuk is false, and you don't gain anything by me machma like them. And they used to go against them. Metamen hoyu hakoyin asarifas hapara. During the Bai Sheni period, they would make the kohen who would make the paraduma, the Mekan Tomei, have him go to Mikveh, and the Dafke, have him do the Paraduma when he was a Tful Yom, to demonstrate L'hoitzim Ulibim Shalat Zdukun, that this Chumra is meaningless. That's like Tosfos said regarding Bishamah and Bishilah. Bishamah is said Pshat in the Pasuk, we don't accept it. So there's no Midas Chassidus to follow the false Pshat. Bishilah wouldn't say that there's a Midas Chassidus. That's when they said, Kadahi Yisrael Biatzmecha, you deserve the death penalty for being Machmer. Just Bikitzer. Sometimes there is room for chumra, sometimes there's not room for chumra. Just close with this, that when Yosef was in prison, and finally he was released, so the tradition in the Gemara is that he was released on Rosh Hashanah. It's Yotzei Mibeis Asur Rosh Hashanah. But the pasuk says the day he was released, by Galach, by Chalev Simloisov, he shaved his, he was in prison, he had his own gewachsen. So they gave him a haircut that day, and he went to visit Paro. So the Chasam Seif in his drasha San Chumash is bothered with Akasha. We know that Avraham Avinu volunteered, we know Yitzchak and Yank, the Ovis, and the Shvatim probably volunteered to observe Kol HaTorah Kula before the Torah was given. So how come he took a haircut on Rosh Hashanah? How you talking? So he answers Pashat, he says, volunteering to observe the mitzvahs before the Torah was given is an Eina Mitzvah V'yah. He said, the whole thing is a Midas Chassidus, you're not Mechuyev, Kodim HaTorah, you're not Mechuyev. And Kovet HaMelech is a real din. So if you have a conflict between a Midas Chassidus and a real din, you have to observe Kovet HaMelech, that's the real din. So that's why he had to take care of it. So there are rules and regulations that we wouldn't always recommend that people should volunteer a Midas Chassidus. Sometimes we say that it's osa, sometimes we say it doesn't make sense, and sometimes it makes sense. And hamachma tov ol habracha. Okay.
Okay, we're going to go to the first floor of the building for lunch. Just to make it for time.